Chapter 8 The Quidditch World Cup. Clutching their purchases, Mr. Weasley in the lead, they all hurried into the wood, following the lantern-lit trail. They could hear the sounds of thousands of people moving around them, shouts and laughter, snatches of singing. The atmosphere of feverish excitement was highly infectious. Harry couldn't stop grinning. They walked through the wood for 20 minutes, talking and joking loudly, until at last they emerged on the other side and found themselves in the shadow of a gigantic stadium. Though Harry could see only a fraction of the immense gold walls surrounding the pitch, he could tell that 10 cathedrals would fit comfortably inside it. "Seats 100,000," said Mr. Weasley, spotting the awe-struck look on Harry's face. "Ministry task force of 500 have been working on it all year. Muggle repelling charms on every inch of it. Every time Muggles have got anywhere near here all year, they've suddenly remembered urgent appointments and had to dash away again. Bless them," he added fondly, leading the way towards the nearest entrance, which was already surrounded by a swarm of shouting witches and wizards. "Prime seats," said the Ministry witch at the entrance, when she checked their tickets. "Top box, straight upstairs, Arthur, and as high as you can go." The stairs into the stadium were carpeted in rich purple. They clambered upwards with the rest of the crowd, which slowly filtered away through doors into the stands to their left and right. Mr. Weasley's party kept climbing, and at last they reached the top of the staircase, and found themselves in a small box, set at the highest point of the stadium, and situated exactly halfway between the golden goalposts. About 20 purple and gilt chairs stood in 2 rows here, and Harry, filing into the front seats with the Weasleys, looked down upon a scene the like of which he could never have imagined. 100,000 witches and wizards were taking their places in the seats which rose in levels around the long, oval pitch. Everything was suffused with a mysterious golden light that seemed to come from the stadium itself. The pitch looked smooth as velvet from their lofty position. At either end of the pitch stood 3 goal hoops, 50 feet high. Right opposite them, almost at Harry's eye level, was a gigantic blackboard. Gold writing kept dashing across it as though an invisible giant's hand was scrawling upon it and then wiping it off again. Watching it, Harry saw that it was flashing advertisements across the pitch.
"The Blue Bottle, a broom for all the family. Safe, reliable, and with inbuilt anti-burglar buzzer. Mrs. Scour's all-purpose magical mess remover. No pain, no stain. Glad Rags Wizard Wear. London, Paris, Hogsmeade."
Harry tore his eyes away from the sign and looked over his shoulder to see who else was sharing the box with them. So far it was empty, except for a tiny creature sitting in the second from last seat at the end of the row behind them. The creature, whose legs were so short they stuck out in front of it on the chair, was wearing a tea towel draped like a toga, and it had its face hidden in its hands. Yet those long, bat-like ears were oddly familiar.
"Dobby?" said Harry incredulously.
The tiny creature looked up and parted its fingers, revealing enormous brown eyes and a nose the exact size and shape of a large tomato. It wasn't Dobby. It was, however, unmistakably a house elf, as Harry's friend Dobby had been. Harry had set Dobby free from his old owners, the Malfoy family.
"Did Sir just call me Dobby?"
squeaked the elf curiously from between its fingers. Its voice was higher even than Dobby's had been, a teeny quivering squeak of a voice, and Harry suspected, though it was very hard to tell with a house elf, that this one might just be female. Ron and Hermione spun around in their seats to look. Though they had heard a lot about Dobby from Harry, they had never actually met him. Even Mr. Weasley looked around in interest. "Sorry," Harry told the elf. "I just thought you were someone I knew."
"But I knows Dobby too, sir,"
squeaked the elf. She was shielding her face, as though blinded by light, though the top box was not brightly lit.
"My name is Winky, sir, and you, sir."
Her dark brown eyes widened to the size of side plates as they rested upon Harry's scar.
"You is surely Harry Potter."
"Yeah, I am," said Harry.
"But Dobby talks of you all the time, sir,"
she said, lowering her hands very slightly and looking awestruck. "How is he?" said Harry. "How's freedom suiting him?"
"Ah, sir,"
said Winky, shaking her head.
"Ah, sir, meaning no disrespect, sir, but I is not sure you did Dobby a favour, sir, when you is setting him free."
"Why?" said Harry, taken aback. "What's wrong with him?"
"Freedom is going to Dobby's head, sir,"
said Winky, sadly.
"Ideas above his station, sir. Can't get another position, sir."
"Why not?" said Harry. Winky lowered her voice by a half octave and whispered,
"He is wanting paying for his work, sir."
"Paying?" said Harry blankly. "Well, why shouldn't he be paid?" Winky looked quite horrified at the idea, and closed her fingers slightly so that her face was half hidden again.
"House elves is not paid, sir,"
she said in a muffled squeak.
"No, no, no. I says to Dobby, I says, go find yourself a nice family and settle down, Dobby. He is getting up to all sorts of high jinks, sir, what is unbecoming to a house elf. You goes racketing around like this, Dobby, I says, and next thing I hear, you's up in front of the Department for the Regulation and Control of Magical Creatures, like some common goblin."
"Well, it's about time he had a bit of fun," said Harry.
"House elves is not supposed to have fun, Harry Potter,"
said Winky firmly from behind her hands.
"House elves does what they is told. I is not liking heights at all, Harry Potter."
She glanced towards the edge of the box and gulped.
"But my master sends me to the top box, and I come, sir."
"Why has he sent you up here, if he knows you don't like heights?" said Harry, frowning.
Master wants me to save him a seat, Harry Potter. He is very busy,"
said Winky, tilting her head towards the empty space beside her.
"Winky is wishing she is back in Master's tent, Harry Potter, but Winky does what she is told. Winky is a good house elf."
She gave the edge of the box another frightened look, and hid her eyes completely again. Harry turned back to the others.
"So that's a house elf," Ron muttered. "Weird things, aren't they?"
"Dobby was weirder," said Harry fervently. Ron pulled out his omnioculars and started testing them, staring down into the crowd on the other side of the stadium.
"Wild," he said, twiddling the replay knob on the side. "I can make that old bloke down there pick his nose again, and again, and again."
Hermione, meanwhile, was skimming eagerly through her velvet-covered, tasseled program. "A display from the team mascots will precede the match," she read aloud.
"Oh, that's always worth watching," said Mr. Weasley. "National teams bring creatures from their native land, you know, to put on a bit of a show."